they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole.
Get we found. Ready. It's time again to venture down the rabbit hole into the world of cybersecurity. You're plugged into the podcast for security leaders and practitioners with a business sense. Prepare for unique interviews, insights, and practical advice that makes your job just a bit easier. And now, please welcome your guides on this adventure, James Jardine and the White Rabbit, Ruffalos.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thanks for joining me down the rabbit hole, another edition of the Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. If you're watching this live, you're getting a peek at the future because this podcast goes out next week as everybody, including myself, is on a plane to Vegas for Black Hat. And to those of you not going, you lucky bastards, because you going?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be like 700 degrees in Vegas. There'll be no water. We'll all have to share the same puddle but you know, people don't really like, I guess, you know, the old joke of people don't really shower at DEF CON, so you don't really need
I'll still have the 700 degrees and no water being in Phoenix, but so I'll be commiserating with you.
Yeah. Here in beautiful Atlanta, we are for the last like 11 days, every couple hours, somebody shows up overhead and dumps like 600,000 gallons on us and then goes away for a minute. And then the heat comes and then the windows steam up from the outside. So you can actually see outside because the windows are also. Yeah, it's great. Anyway, joining me today and this week is my friend Jessica. Jessica, say hi. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jessica Heavenstreit. I've been doing this security thing for like more than two decades and currently doing the consulting thing and have done, you know, a little bit of everything. Also, you know, passionate about D&I and a mom.
And that is a full plate as you can get. We're officially in that category of people who were around when this thing wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
And so at some point I'm going to make a little sticker or something that's or like a little badge. Just get off my InfoSec lawn.
Right. InfoSec so curmudgeon yells at cloud.
Right. Yes, exactly that. I feel like all the things that we see that are brand new, like, yep, been there. Yep. Done that. Yep. Tried that. Didn't work last time. Probably won't work again.
But you go get them, kids.
You go try. I guess, you know, 80 million VC money could try that, but that's like brute force. But all right, good luck, whatever you got to do. So, so you've got your expertise baked into the enterprise security program thing. And I've been chasing that for quite some time. Frankly, I gave up because I did the advisory thing for a bit, built a bunch of them, helped a bunch of them, fixed a bunch of them. And I realized, like, I come back 2 years later, I'm like, no, you've unlearned everything.
Right.
And, so I don't know.
New opportunity.
I congratulate you for having the fortitude to stick it out.
Thank you.
But listen, it's good to have, it's good to have you on the show. You know, we've known each other for forever and a day, and I figured now is the time. I just had Tom Essett on the show, who I realized in the 11 years you've been running this thing, hasn't actually been on the show before. But
I've been on, you know, this is my second
you've
time.
You've been on the show. That's right. You've been, you're a second timer. You were the first time you guys were launching the Diana Initiative.
No. Well, we did talk about that, but it's when I launched the Dreamer framework that I developed.
That's right. Dreamer framework. Meter. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yes. That's right. Dreamer framework. I do remember that. God, that's been, that's, we're not going to Google that. That's a long time ago. Back when I had much fewer gray hair, weighed a little bit less, and probably cared a little more.
Same. I think my hair was actually like a natural color at that point.
All I'm saying is my twins are now turning 9 shortly, and
Oh, man.
It's been a bit. Yeah. It's been a bit. But look, security likes to talk about maturity quite a bit. And in your space and your realm of expertise, we've talked about several times the need to mature security programs. And yeah. I've done that myself. And I always somehow end up battling the, well, we're going to spend more money and hire more people this year and probably buy some cooler things.
Yep.
And I keep saying, like, that's not maturity.
Right.
That's right. Just more. It's not better.
Right. Right. More is not always better, volume as it turns is not out. Good.
And so, look,
quality
we have to look
quantity.
At this.
Right.
You tell them that. Yeah. And clearly you've not been to RSA lately.
I just went this year. Wow. Yeah. I was one of the few that did not get, you know, the super virus while I was out there. So, you know, phew.
But I tell you what, anybody that thinks that this industry is going quality over quantity needs to go to Black Hat and Black Hat and RSA and realize none of those things are true. We're just going to go quality, right. Like quantity.
Yeah.
We're just going to throw more solutions at the product, at the problem. And one of them is just eventually going to work. I don't think that's going to happen though.
Yeah, I mean, if we implement the third tool that does the exact same thing that, you know, five other tools in my environment could do, but I just don't have it configured right, surely this is the magic bullet.
Surely this time.
Surely.
This reminds me of a conversation with Anton tracking a while back on, like, hey, isn't Sim on its, like, fifth iteration or ninth or 27th? Like, do you think this time it'll work?
How's that going to work out for us? Sim is dead. Long live Sim.
It's like the mainframe. It died. We had the funeral. We all, you know, went to the party afterwards. And then, like, the mainframe.
Then we had to figure out how to log rec F.
Right. So it's like in those cartoons where, you know, somebody like one of the cartoon animal like characters, they think he's dead or she's dead. And, like, you know, it's all. And then they're having a party all morning and the cartoon character walks in like, hey, what's everybody mourning about? Yeah, like, we thought you were dead.
Or the Spider-Man meme where they're all pointing at each other.
Yes. Like, hey, yes, me, him, no, you. It's you know what it was? It was the you know who started that? Remember oh God, who was it? It wasn't like, it was the on Saturday Night Live, the those guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they did the pointing thing, yeah. Okay, that's a long time ago. We're old.
We are old.
Back
yes.
to security. So look, okay, what's your day job like looking through a lot of these, I don't need specifics, but I'm saying like looking through a lot of these security, large scale security programs. Obviously you've got a much bigger window into much bigger companies now given the org structure you're part of, but you're looking at things at like, we used to say like the small companies, they're never gonna get it, but the big companies, of course they're gonna get it. They got lots of budget, they can hire people.
They have regulations. Right? Yeah. So my day job, I work for a large consulting firm in their commercial business. Yeah. So I'm part of this team called Cyberfusion. And so what we hope to do and want to do is help companies take that next level after SOC, right? Like sometimes it's just coming in and helping them baseline security operations. What I really like to do, I mean, that's great, but I've been doing that for 20 years now, right? It's fun and everything, but it's the same thing over and over. What I really like to do is try and get that maturity, right? And go to the next level after SOC, like start bringing in fraud data and privacy data and making it kind of a more holistic. No one's there yet. I mean, they all say they want to be there. They all say they are there. I'm doing some work right now for a company. It's supposed to be an assessment, but it's solely focused on their monitoring capabilities. Like, so within security operations, but then like this big, right? But how do you assess monitoring capabilities without also looking at what are you doing for threat? What are you doing for IR? What are you doing here? Like, what's your log management, right? And they're nowhere near. And they have a huge OT environment and they're nowhere near being at just even like a baseline SOC. They have two analysts, 8x5, Monday through Friday. They have millions of events, you know,
right.
They're over estimating their regulatory requirements and other requirements for maintaining firewall logs where they're keeping all the permits, all the NAT denies, all the NAT translations, and having it processed by their SIM. And it's like, okay,
let's have a...
At scale. And exceeding their license volume regularly, and they want to keep all of this for a year. Like, they've interpreted that they need to keep all of this for a year. And it's like, okay, like, yes, there is valuable investigative data contained in there, but you probably don't have to have your SIM processing all of that, right? But getting these, and they're smart security practitioners. Like, I can have great conversation with them. They're following along, and then it's like, nope, we need our firewalls. It's like, cool.
Do you remember... When did this happen? I want to go back and like analyze the exact point in time when suddenly security decided logging everything was a good idea. I suspect the folks at EMC had something to do with that.
Right? All the storage. Hey, aren't you a former EMCer? Are you allowed to be
No. Don't have that. HP. Close.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Close. Okay. Also sold storage, bought several companies, did weird things with them. This is kind of the, when you look at, particularly from a SOC perspective, that's kind of where we first met a billion jillion years ago.
Yeah.
When SOC was effectively send me alerts, I will manually romp through them. Maybe the SIM will help and we'll pick out the things that are important and investigate them. I think even back then that was kind of ambitious and never really going to work that way.
Super ambitious.
And since then we've just added volume. And right. I've done a couple of engagements with customers of ours, you know, a couple of companies ago, where they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to go ahead and log all events. I'm like, you shouldn't. They're like, no, we can. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. Like, why not? I'm like, because you're going to kill every bit of storage you have here.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep having to buy. Like, oh no, we store it in the cloud. Like, that's even worse because there are now egress charges.
Right. I mean, like, okay. Why would you do that?
No.
Like, also, the cloud is great, but it's also not like a panacea, right? Like,
it's expensive, right? But yeah. And in the time that technology's gotten better, in the time that we've added 150,000 new companies and everything else that's happened, the thing that I haven't seen, the question I haven't seen answered well, and I know the answer is not concrete, but I haven't seen it answered well, is what should I log? What should I be looking at? And how closely should I be looking at the things that I have? I feel like these are fundamental questions in a SOC, because immature companies try to look at everything. Like, they don't have the capacity to look at anything. So they only look at the alerts the tools they buy are sending them, which
right.
Why
that
MFB,
they don't
right?
tune that they don't tune, so they're getting crap alerts. They don't know their entire environment, so they don't know the context. They're not getting threat intel feeds, and so that's not being enhanced with, you know, good fidelity and all of that great stuff. Yeah, it's a problem.
Well, those folks end up chasing their own tails, mm-hmm.
and then
often
they get alert
enough,
fatigue. And burn
right.
out, and they leave, and we start over.
And we start over, right. And the next person comes in and goes, well, I've got a solution to this. You're like, no. Last person tried that. We know how that ended. But why haven't we solved that? What's your perspective on this? Because I don't know, maybe I'm just jaded.
Welcome to the security club, but you know, super jaded and bitter in my career. I mean, not really potential customers. you know, I think because we as an industry overcomplicate a lot of things. I think that every CISO, CSO type person thinks that they alone can solve this problem, and we really are terrible at collaboration. But there's something to that, right? Because there is a lot of nuance environment to environment. But
sure.
I think there could be and should be, and I don't know how to solve this, so I'm just, you know, talking. There should be like this baseline where this type of company with this size of company, or, you know, in this vertical, like, here's where you start. And then you start doing the nuances after that. And I don't, there aren't good references out there. Right. And all of us graybeards, you know, are like, you know, let's just log everything and start from there. And then we'll start tuning down. And then the tuning never happens because we're too busy chasing our tails and doing our day jobs that we can't do the governance and the maintenance and the cleanup on the back end that we're supposed to be doing.
I feel like there's a measurement problem here. We used to measure security effectiveness by the number of things we stopped.
Right.
And then that became really hard to actually back up with any like actual data. Cause yes, you stopped a port scan. So like, oh yeah, a piece of malware landed and you caught it. Okay. So,
how much money did that save me? But how much time did you spend analyzing it? How much did the technology cost? Like,
there you go. That's where I'm going with this, right? Yeah.
How do you have that value conversation? And in such a way that people that aren't security nerds like us understand and care.
And that's the thing. Talk to me about your thoughts on how do you have these conversations with people that are we'll say sock naive, early in their journey, maybe, if I want to be less brutal. How do you get them past the I'm just going to log everything, my tools will tell me what to do and everything will be great?
Yeah, so you know, a lot of times I'll recommend that we undertake some kind of tuning initiative where we kind of do a show me, do me, teach me kind of thing. So we'll come in and we'll like do the initial analysis and we'll be like, here are our findings. And this, you know, here are our recommendations. You know, there's multiple places, as you know, that you can tune. You know, do you tune at the source? Do you filter it out after it's processed? Do you send it straight to storage? Right? Those kinds of conversations. And then you write down, even though all this stuff becomes shelfware, but you write down what the process is. So when Susie Newbie comes in next year, you can go, here, junior person, this is how we do tuning. And guess what your first job is? You get to do that because you get to learn a lot about our environment that way.
Right.
Right.
So tuning is important.
Yeah. But it's really hard. So the other thing I like to talk to people about is, metrics are great, but metrics aren't everything. And not all metrics are for all audiences, right? There's the operational metrics that I need every day to know if I'm doing the right things as a person in the SOC, right? Are my tools up? Have my volumes changed dramatically? And I need to go, huh, wonder why my log volume's off. I should look into this, you know?
Right.
Was there a change approved? Like all of those kinds of things. The CISO, the board, the security committee, the risk committee, you know, whoever your governance structure is, they don't really care about those kinds of things. They want to know, am I safer or at least as safe today as I was yesterday? And how are my investments working for me? And prove to me that it's worth it. You know, what are you protecting me from? What are those threats out there that I don't, and I really don't like the keeps me up at night analogy. Yeah, we're all in security. We all have insomnia, right?
None of us sleep, yeah.
Right. So, okay. So, you know, like, how do you have that conversation so that they're finding value and can make good decisions and you're promoting your teams and the good work that you're doing, right? How do you tell that story? And, you know, operational metrics are super easy. It's counting, right? Like you're not having to do a lot of storytelling, but board level metrics and executive metrics, that's really hard. And you have to tell a story and you have to do it consistent. So what I see a lot is people that do metrics, they change either their methodology or their baseline month to month and the data that they're pulling or the time frame that they're pulling against, and they're inconsistent. And so you're comparing like apples to elephants to houses. Like, okay, you've I have no frame of reference from last time to see, am I doing better or am I not doing better? Am I maturing? So am I not maturing?
Can I pull on that? Because you said, are we safer or at least as safe as we were the last time we reported? How do you begin to define that? Because the we have two, like, I feel this, to me, this feels like standing on a moving platform, shooting an arrow at a moving platform with a target on it.
Yeah.
So you're doing this. You're like, okay, I'm going to hit it eventually if I hit it. But technology, like the IT landscape in most companies changes. It's not static. And in the companies where it was static, it just means you're not paying attention.
Right.
It's not static. It changes fairly rapidly. New stuff comes in. Old stuff goes away. Well, that's not true. Old stuff never goes away.
The problem. They say it goes away, but it doesn't really go away.
New threats appear. New network segments, new employees, new jobs, new business units, new acquisitions, new divestitures. Like, it's super dynamic. How do you look at that and say, okay, my goal is to keep this company safe from what ish. And how? Yeah, ish.
I mean, so I'm going to pull back on the Dreamer framework, actually. So you have those relationships, right? And so you're learning about the business from the business. What is important to you? What is on your mind? What's in your risk registry? You know, that's where I start, is having those conversations and go, okay, so I kind of understand what you care about. I understand what our critical business processes are. You're teaching me this. Let me go see what visibility and coverage I have into those areas, right? Let me make sure my playbooks have contingencies for those scenarios and those, you know, those crown jewels, and this process, if it goes down or is interrupted, is going to cost, you know, millions of dollars a second if it's a financial institution, for example. And I try and, try and bring it back to like that kind of conversation, because again, we're security nerds. We care about the ones and zeros and the bits and bytes and, oh my God, you have all these holes in your firewall and blah, 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 which is true. And it's going to be true because they're a business. They need to operate. Have the conversation with the business. What do you care about? You know, CEO, what is in the risk register, risk officer, and start looking at making sure you have visibility and coverage from that perspective.
You remind me of a story. I've told a million times. I got to anonymize this better, because apparently I don't do a good job of anonymizing. But let's just hypothetically call this the Acme Widget Corp. And I had we call it a security strategy session back in my HP days with a new CISO and an existing security team. And we did this security strategy framework thing that we used to do, and sat down with the CISO day one of the engagement, like, what are you trying to get out of this? And he says, you know, I want to understand what's important, whether we're doing a good, exactly what you're saying. What does the business care about, and whether we're doing a good job? So I split the next day into two parts. The first part, I brought in the security team and AIT team and said, okay, tell me what is important here and what you guys protect. And then I left them in the room, but added a bunch of VP level people that actually are responsible for, you know, like profit and loss of the company. Uh-huh. And it was, obviously to me, it wasn't weird, but it was really weird for them all to look at each other and go, you thought that was important?
No? Right.
You're like, wait, we've spent a ton of money protecting this. What do you mean it's not important? Like, I don't care about that. And it was the craziest thing, because
like, mind's blown, right? Like, what is happening here? Yeah.
It was one of the first conversations I ever had where somebody on the business side said, you guys don't realize that that thing that you're talking about has a shelf life. It is only secret for like until this date. Afterwards, it's a product that anybody can copy and we don't care because we have a patent on it. Like, it's only important until the patent is issued. And then I don't care, right? And it's like, you just watch these very intelligent, most of them more intelligent than I am on the technical side of things, just sort of go, what?
Right.
And that day ended with two sides of a whiteboard that did look nothing like each other. Mm-hmm. And then we started drawing like, okay, so wait, hold on. Business cares about this. How can we support that? And then the technology people would say like, hey, yeah, you want this business process to work, but you don't realize it hinges on this thing working. And they go,
right.
Nope, never knew that. They're like, wow, that is a workstation under somebody's desk in the shop floor that hasn't been looked at in 5 years.
Yeah.
We should do something about that.
Yeah.
And it was this great coming together. And it illustrates exactly what you're saying. Like, what do we care about? Why?
Yeah. But I got to ask, what happened after that meeting?
Because
those are great, like, eye-opening, mind-expanding conversations, and everybody feels really good, and they're like, yes, and they're jazzed. And then it's the next week, and our operational activities overcome, and the conversation goes by the wayside, and what good came of it?
So what's really interesting in that case, and it's not always the case, unfortunately, as you said, is they were going through a serious transformation, and they needed the guidance, and they needed to work with each other. The previous CISO had been, unceremoniously relieved of duty.
Oh, fun.
Midday.
Made available for industry?
Yes. Involuntarily put on vacation. Permanently, with no paycheck. But I think that was enough of a jolt on both sides where the business folks that were in the room realized they hadn't done a good job of communicating. Like, their IT team had no idea what the company did or why it was important. And the IT team realized, we're out here swinging, swinging in the dark, hoping to hit a baseball, and we're all playing rugby. Like, this is we're doing the wrong thing. And so that was meant to be a 3-day engagement that I think turned into about just under an 18-month engagement with them.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't there for 18 months. Good Lord, that part of the country, I wouldn't have survived that long without other human contact. But they literally tore apart their existing security budget and infrastructure, and we did this like, okay, if these are the four processes that and two areas of secrecy that we care about, what of this helps? And there are things that they went, wow, we bought that thing last year and that actually does nothing for any of this. Did we get rid of it? And they did. They got rid of some tech. Yeah. And it was weird because it worked.
So what about the companies that aren't in a place or don't have the opportunity to be like, all right, we're going to break this down and deconstruct everything. Like, how do we help them? Because most companies are not in that place, right, where they have the new CISO
or
the major incident, and they can, have the blank checkbook. And how do we help them?
I have a slide in almost every presentation I've done in the last decade of an airplane and a man and woman on the wing. One of the ladies handing the guy the engine, and he's trying to replace it mid-flight. And I go, this is what you're all doing every day.
Yeah.
Never mind that this is the last flight of this plane, and frankly, we don't care if it crashes into the ground or not, because it's not really that important. And it reinforces that point of, is your security program positively directed in the right direction? I think what happens in the other 90% of companies is they do rather than doing kind of turning the Titanic, spending the 18 months and turning the Titanic, they got to get the soup spoon out, and they're like furiously rowing. Like, if I row hard enough, we'll make 1 degree change. Oh, we made a 1 degree change. Yay.
Right.
And by the way, that's an accomplishment in a lot of these organizations.
Absolutely. Move the needle.
But you get that opportunity around budget time, don't you, every year?
In how many budgeting exercises have you been through? Because prior to my consulting days, like, yeah, you can make all these asks and stuff, but pretty much they're going to be like, we're going to give you what we gave you last year, plus or minus 2%. Make it work. And so there isn't the room for the innovation and the consulting and the breaking it down to its pieces and building it back better and that kind of thing.
So really, one of the smartest CISOs I've ever met, this guy named Dan Conroy that I worked for at GE for a bit, did this thing where he got us all in a room, all the security team in a room. And we all represented different parts of different lines of business and part of the security team and et cetera. And he basically said, okay, I've talked to all the VPs, the CIOs of each of the businesses. Here's what they want. our budget is going to go towards, like, everything you we ask for is going to be to support that thing, to this tech, to support that thing. And one of the things that we had, and this is kind of a brutal way to learn this, but one of the things that we had on the budget was PCI DSS compliance. And he went through, and it turns out none of them were really eager to be PCI DSS compliant.
It's cheaper to pay the fine, right?
Hold on, this story gets better.
Sorry.
Never mind that we're a financial services company with you know, issuing credit cards. We did not have massive security issues. That's what we were good at it. But it was simply not, like, the certification part of it wasn't somebody's big budget item. And so he took it off the list. He said, nobody cares about it. I'm going to take this $250,000 off the list, whatever it was, off the list.
Yeah.
And about 3 months in, one of the CIOs goes, hey, we're PCI DSS compliant, right? We're like, no. Like, well, that's an initiative, right? Nope. What do you mean? You're a security team. Make it happen. We're like, yeah, it's not budgeted. It's like, well, I've got a customer that as a contingency of being our customer says, show me your compliance certificate. We're like, yeah, that's not going to happen. It's like, what do you mean? But it has to happen. I go, great. Then you got to fund it. He's like, oh, I'm taking this up the food chain. So he did, as was his prerogative. And he ended up having that conversation with my boss. And my boss is like, hey, remember when I brought this to you and you like scratched that off?
Yeah.
He's like, I scratched it off.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, we'll put it back on there. He's like, all right, well, but we're mid-year and I have to divert resources from something else. So it's going to cost you 30% more. And the dude, the other person was like, no. And he left. Came back the next day and said, how much again?
50% so more, as it turns out.
turns that was out, yesterday's that was double because he left. The minute you walk out of this office, I add 20%. But that is the only time I have seen with my own eyes and witnessed business level attachment of security budget working. Mm-hmm. I can't think of another way to do it. Because if the business doesn't care about it, why would they fund it, right?
Yes. Dreamer. Dreamer. How long ago did I build that framework?
Hold on. Now I'm going to go look it up.
Oh, man. It was like...
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. It was like 2015 or something. But yes, precisely. Like, I mean, that's still... We got to connect better with the business and collaborate. Oh no!
You want to know the answer? So episode. So this is what episode now? 512.
Oh, 512. Yeah,
this was 400 episodes ago. And 112, September 29th of 2014.
So you're gonna have me on like every 400 episodes? Is that like the thing now?
Oh my goodness, that's legit a long time.
Yeah.
No, we're going to have you back sooner because that's ridiculous. But but it's adding focus. And I think as we grow – holy cow, it's been 30 – okay. So as we grow close to the time allotted for this show, we want to talk about maturity. I think that's where it ends up ultimately.
Yeah.
We get away from I want a bigger team, more budget, more headcount, more toys to I want to be able to say with some degree of confidence I'm protecting – the thing that this business relies on,
yeah,
that the business tells me is important.
Yeah.
With
and
a
this is
better
how I'm doing
degree.
It.
So,
yeah.
Right. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. We've solved all the problems, Raph.
Okay. That's it. Done. All right.
Oh,
I'm
going to
go. Yeah. It's 4 o'clock.
All you new
what?
People, go
care.
Off and go off and conquer. We've given you the answers. It's that easy.
You know what, though? It does feel like it is that easy. So why isn't it that easy?
Because all of the day-to-day stuff that is that is the quagmire that we have to wade through gets in the way, plus politics and egos and, you know, this is the way we've always done things, and so how could I possibly not do it that way tomorrow? Like, you know, all of our hang-ups and all of that, like, comes with us, right?
Yeah. You know, experience would say if you've tried this four times in your way and it hasn't worked, the fifth probably not a good option.
Yeah. Have you heard of Sisyphus?
Yeah, Google that. I had an interesting total sidebar. But I had an interesting conversation where somebody managed to slip into Sword of Damocles into a conversation. I was like, okay, that's what you guys are gonna have to go Google. But yeah, I mean, look, we are at least 25 years off the starting line from when this became a thing, a formal mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. It was information security, cyber, enterprise security, InfoSec, whatever,
cybersec, whatever it is. Information security, all the
whatever
things.
It is today, right? Yeah. Whatever you name your department today. The approach that we took 25 years ago of, well, let's just protect everything because we don't know what's important. Like, that can't be a thing.
And I'm going to lock you down to the point where you can't even do business, so you have to find out how to go around me because I am security and I know all. Wait, that's not the way
we do things. Arguably the only thing worse than lax security is exactly what you described, because then it doesn't work and people hate you.
Yes, yes. At least this way I have friends. Allegedly, you know, I mean.
You know, there used to be a prevailing attitude in security. People didn't need to like you. They just need to know that you're keeping them safe. I don't think that's true.
No, and I think that's a terrible way to live. Like, I don't need everyone to like friends, me, but, you know, it'd be nice if a couple people did. Like, you know. It probably does something for my self-esteem, my mental health.
Well, yeah, if mental health and self-esteem is your thing, this is the wrong industry.
Dang it! I knew it! Why didn't someone tell me sooner?
Right? I've made a career out of it. Oh, boy. No, but you know what? Let me ask you. Give us a piece of advice along that security program maturity line that you'd give somebody that's listening to us and is like, all right, well, that's great. You guys have just rambled for, you know, 40 minutes
right,
or whatever.
Like, cool story, bro.
Give me a piece of advice to take away.
Run away. No, I'm kidding.
yes.
I always go back to, you got to figure out what's important to the business and you got to listen to them. Right. So don't come in there with like your agenda of like, and this is how I'm going to secure you. Like, tape your mouth closed and put your listening ears on and take some notes and really like, be an active listener and really take in what they're saying and then do the action based on that, not the thing that you've already preconceived in your mind and are going off on that direction.
I love that advice, and on that we're going to end. By the way, this is probably more fun than it should have been at midday on a Tuesday. but this is having you on a show is awesome. Are you ditching us in Vegas. You're going to stay home and
I am staying home. I was invited.
The other part of the business.
I was invited to be on a panel in the Blue Team Village, but I couldn't get work to pay for like any of my travel or anything. And I'd rather save my money than to pay to go to summer camp at this point because I've been doing this for almost 2.5 decades. So, yeah. So I'm staying home.
I've got a new gig and I get to go meet people I've only seen on Zoom calls. So,
that's fun.
I'm excited about that.
That'll be fun. That'll be nice. I do miss the, you know, in-person interactions. I joined my current company in the midst of the pandemic. And so I've been here just over 2 years now. Finally met my first coworker in person in February at Cactus Con.
Wow.
Visited the office for the first time in April, I think. So got to use my badge, which was, you know, neat. So, you know.
Oh, it's sad. That's so sad. We're like, we finally got to use my badge.
Yeah. I went to RSA and did get to spend some great quality one-on-one time with my amazing boss. And I'm not just saying that because she may see this, but my amazing boss. And so that was really good. There is something to be said for that face-to-face time, even though, you know, my introverted self would rather stay in my dark room and read a book.
I tell you what, it is an industry that demands a lot of you. And, these conferences, I'm fairly certain I will land, blink once and realize I'm back at the airport to go home. And that's perfectly fine at this point.
I mean, the longest stint I did there was the year I ran Diana Initiative. And I also attended like all of summer camp. And I think I was in Vegas for like 10 or 12 days. Yeah. Like it was just, and I was pregnant. It was terrible. It was, yeah, I was like 6 months pregnant. It was the worst. I couldn't even drink. Like, you know, I am one of the people that imbibes, and I was hugely pregnant, hot, cranky, you know, exhausted from long days of trying to make
everything
work.
You couldn't even
work.
Have a drink. Oh, that's terrible.
It was terrible.
All right. Well, yeah. Wow. Never that again.
Yes,
all right.
No.
Thank you for joining the show. It's been a lot of fun. I love
having
you on. Hopefully
this
people
has been
enjoyed. Hopefully people enjoyed listening to us banter, and we will do this again sometime.
In 400 episodes ish.
No, sooner. We're gonna do this sooner. Screw that.
Okay.
We're gonna pre-book this now for like a year from now, so that
perfect.
I can be like, oh, hey, reminder.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Thanks, folks, for listening. That was Jessica. This is Raph. I'm signing off. We'll catch you guys another time, another place, on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. Check out the LinkedIn page where the stuff streams. Check out the RSS feed. And there's a YouTube page where I've said I was going to post videos. I posted some and I stopped. I will get back to more of them when life allows. In the meantime, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
As we fade out on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole episode, we'd like to encourage you to chat with our hosts and guests using the Twitter hashtag #DTSR. Please check out the show notes, catch up on any episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. So on behalf of Rafal, James, for now it's goodbye. We'll see you soon on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast.